I want to make this add, I guess, addendum maybe what Pastor Cassiola said. You start off a little slow this morning, and somewhere, like the Lord got in it. You can't ask for much more than that. And if I ever think that's because of me, I need to start really thinking about some things again.
That's right.
It's the problem with being a novice, you think it's you. So you're going to try to preach people into repentance. You're going to try to change people. I learned a long time ago you can't change anybody.
That's right.
All you can do is tell them the truth. If they die and go to hell, you'll stand, watch them be judged, and your hands will be clean. Because you told the truth. There's times I want to choke people. In Christian love, of course. But you realize that it was the Proverbs within that should bray a fool in a mortar with wheat and a pestle. Yet, as it will not, or not will, I think it's will not, his foolishness depart from him. If you can take him and grind him in a mortar, and they're still going to be a fool.
Yep.
That rod is for a fool's back. So anything that might help, possibly. The frustration of ministry with people is a detriment to a church and to those people. If you get frustrated with people, I want you to listen to me, especially young preachers. It's you. Remember Brother Sammy Allen talking about leaving those meetings? He said back in that big old Fleetwood he talked about back in the 70s, he'd say, boys, I told them all I could. Can't tell them anything else. And that's what it'd say. I'm going to have to take half a baby aspirin and worry about what those folks thought about that. So we've labored. And just a couple things I was going to look at. I'm not preaching this. This is just little announcements. In verse 19, he says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence, we're in verse 19, of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy.
Amen.
That's the ministry. It's people. When you labor over people, you see some get saved. You see some get right. It is a great rejoicing. The reason people get depressed after a night of rejoicing is because they got up in the morning and they didn't spend that time with the Lord again. I know none of you dealt with that Thursday, right?
Come on.
You say, well, I certainly couldn't live like that. Oh, you could if you wanted to. I've known a few over the years. You know what it took for Brother Herbert to rejoice? Just going, hey, preacher. Hey, glory to God, Brother Tim. Hallelujah. You say, well, that's not real. Say the Pharisees and the hypocrites. You have a service. Now listen, some of you weren't there, some of you were there Wednesday night. Somebody denied. Tell me God wasn't stirring in hearts. So why wasn't he Thursday? We didn't take it with us. New day. I rejoice in watching people get right. I watch God. I'm not going to point people out except Sister Jody and a few others. I watch God restore some people's joy Wednesday night. And if anybody wants to complain, amen, Sister Jody. Thank God for that. I ain't seen her shout in a long time. I just rejoice in Sister Jody. Rejoice. All that heaviness she carried. Listen, on her shoulder, she carries that weight on her shoulder. I said, glory to God. I watched her rejoice. That stirred me. And somebody goes, well, I don't see God in that. The problem is we don't live that way when we get out of bed. But you could. You go into that secret place with thanksgiving. You go into that secret place with joy. You go into that secret place blessing his name. And then make their supplications unto him. It'll help you. We prayed last Friday. Some of you were there. I left at 2:00. I wasn't carnal, I don't think. But my flesh sure was. Amen. And I went home at 2:00. Brother Dale Morey went home at 3:00. Luke went home at 3:00, but checked out about 11. Thank God for padded chairs, but Luke.
Amen.
We accomplished much in prayer, did we not?
Yes, sir.
We had visitors. We had visitors here. We've seen God do great things for us this week. I watched God restore joy in some of the saints. We've had folks just right there on the brink, and some folks are beginning to murmur about some things in a positive way, about good things that have taken place and getting victories and walking with God. And now it's all done. Why? Why? Because we don't go to that secret place. We don't spend that time with him. I've learned, if I can drag my carcass out of bed, which isn't always easy, and get in that place, that joy comes so much quicker. That rejoicing comes so much quicker. Thanksgiving comes so much quicker. To open the Word of God and spend time with him, my prayer is easier. My life is better. My wife looks prettier. And that's hard. It's hard for her to look prettier.
Amen.
When I'm right with God, she just looks better. She knows when I've been praying because she goes, "Get off me." Next year, I'll preach that same thing. Timothy will run. Why don't we stay there? Because we don't want to. It's too hard. I've said before, I'm willing to sacrifice sleep for many of you. But I'm also willing to sacrifice sleep for him. Matthias woke up at 3:00 the one morning, and 3:00 is always that kind of gray area. Do I or don't I? You'll know. Do I get up and spend time with God or go back to bed? Well, I know who usually wins that fight. It's not him. 4:00, it's a whole lot harder for me to say no. 5:00, no excuse. So I only got 3 hours sleep. What's better?
Right.
It ought to be the norm. For entering his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. I don't know why it takes 20 minutes into the service. If we were spiritual, we probably would have hit the back door. Praising him. Rejoicing. No matter who it bothers. Can you all listen? Do you know why it bothers people? Can some of you figure out why you ought to praise? Do you know why it bothers people? Because they can't do it. Brother Herbert, I'll mention him again. Love that old man of God. Thank God for it. He said, "Lord, woke me up this morning." He said, "I'm doing the clock. It was 3:33. He said, Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things whereof thou knowest not. He said, so I called upon him this morning. I remember one of the first times after that I woke up and saw 3:33 on the clock, I went, oh man. People say, I'm so depressed now. I feel like I didn't accomplish anything. Make it part of your daily ritual. It doesn't have to be in church. Make it part of your life. To bless his name. To thank him. He's worthy of praise. He's a God to be thanked. He's done so much. If we spend time thanking him, we'd be here all night just thanking him for just the things we know that he's done. That's the things we can't even, that's the things we can just see. Don't get overthrown by this stuff. Don't get overthrown by the deceit. One of the things, and it's kind of personal, I'm not going to say, my wife just shared something with me. And I'm just going to say this, though, because I feel like it needs to be said. A lot of it is emotion, because God made you emotional. Would you rather have angry praise? I think I'd rather have joyous praise. I'd rather praise him with tears and with weeping. God made you emotional because what God wants you to do, though, is God wants you to use those emotions for him. Not to serve your own purpose. I enjoy rejoicing. I enjoy praise. I enjoy the things of God. I enjoy being the saints of God, the house of God, the worship of the Most High God. I enjoy just sitting there just watching people rejoice and watching the tears and listening to the testimonies. And them speaking with God. I enjoy that as much as I enjoy anything in my life. Like that farmer that sits and looks on that wheat field that he planted. And the rain has come and the sun has come and now it's late June and it's golden. And that combine goes through that field and he's satisfied because he knows he's done what he could do. And that's the way evangelism is sometimes. You sit back and you enjoy the fruit of the labor. But I want you to know something, it's very rare that we get to do that. It's very rare that we have a harvest. It's very rare that we get to enjoy that fruit. Let me be real cognizant of this. There's a whole generation coming behind that has no clue they're lost.
Amen.
There's a whole group of people coming behind that are not cognizant of the need of their soul. They do not see where they stand with God. I made that statement. Made it the other day of probably close to 30 people. I don't know exactly how many in the last couple of years under the umbrella of our ministry. I mean, people we know personally, people we're in contact with, people that we go to church with, different places. We preach to them. Over 30 people gotten saved with the good grace of God. Amen. And again, like Brother John said, I don't mean just a bunch of slackers that made a profession. But people that are walking with God, people that their homes have been put together, lives have been
That's
put together.
Right.
People that have truly been born of God. We probably have about 20 now that know that need and just cannot rectify that, cannot reconcile to God. But we have hundreds that are clueless. Hundreds. Their ears will not hear. They do not want to hear. Their lives are so miserable and so wretched, vile. And yet God will not open the ear of a man that will not hear, I believe as much as I'm standing here. God circumcised the deadness of that ear to open that ear so that man can hear. But if God comes to you and tries to deal with you and tries to show you and you fight him, God is not obligated to open your ear to hear. Yeah. Right. You'll die and go to hell saying, nobody told me. The Lord will say, no, you didn't listen. You would not hear. And there's a generation coming along that will not hear. Go to 1 Timothy, a couple pages over. And I want to say this with all gentleness and all kindness, and I'm going to explain to you why they cannot hear. Because they hear every other voice in the world but the voice of God. They pick up a video game rather than a Bible.
Yep.
They'll watch pornography rather than preaching. They're wrapped up in all the affairs of this life and all the snares of this life, but they will not seek God.
That's right.
Yep.
Men go to great length to seek pleasure. They go to great lengths to find a little piece of pleasure that's not going to last them, but just a season.
Yes, sir.
And that one thing that satisfies, that one rest we speak of. Jesus, I am resting. Double. Amen. In the joy of what thou art. There is rest to the people of God. Amen. There is rest in God. We talk about addicts, but it's far more than booze and drugs. It's pleasure.
Yes, sir.
They're addicted to pleasure.
Yes, sir.
And food is pleasure.
Yes, sir.
I told David Battis tonight, I said, David, next time I see you, you're going to be 60 pounds heavier standing up here with your mom. Amen. I've stayed there, I know. But when I go home, I'll still eat like a pig. Don't bother me one bit. When you can't push away from the table, and you can't take that time to not eat, and you can't take that time to, not a cuss word, but it's a four-letter word, F-A-S-T, fast, something's wrong. When you have to entertain yourself, or you choose to entertain yourself rather than deal with people, it's just the lust of your flesh. I watch people go hide in holes. I watch people ashamed to be seen by people. Young men that can't look you in the eye. Young men that cannot shake your hand. Why? Because they're addicted to everything but the Word of God.
Come on.
You better put a stop to it so that God can open your ear.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 2. Did you put more money in the tithe plate than you put in video games last year? I'm just curious. Well, nobody said amen, so I guess nobody did. Okay. But the Cassiel was going, what's a video game? You spend money on what you love.
That's right. That's right.
You know how you know you love people? Boy, that hurt, didn't it? They're all freeloaded. Says the freeloader.
Amen.
I said the other night, I'll say it here. People that don't know how to receive, don't know how to give. People, that's all they do is receive. They don't know how to give. You can't win. Some of you need to get a grip on some of this. Living your life in a stupor. Living your life in oblivion. And it's not because you're stupid.
Right. Yep.
It's not because you're ignorant.
Right.
It's because you willfully neglect God. You say, you're being personal. Now I'm talking to everybody.
Right.
I'm talking to my children. They do it.
Sure.
And if it's you, just take it for what it is. When's a good age to begin to seek God? The first time God tells you to seek him. Pretty basic. I've read the Cartwright revivals of 8 and 9 year old boys preaching.
Amen.
And that'll put some of you under conviction. I've read the stories of 15 year olds pastoring churches with the power of God in their life. And I'm not talking about this Jerry Springer modern television, put them on TV because they're preacher. You know, I'm not talking about that foolishness. I'm talking about God called preachers. God help us. I long for that.
Sure.
It starts with mamas at home, by the way.
That's right.
You've addicted your children to video games. You've addicted your children to TV. You've addicted your children to the little babysitter you put up there because you're too lazy to watch the children. And you'll fight that.
Yep.
These mamas don't teach your children scripture. They don't teach your children Bible. They don't sit down with them and spend Bible time with them. Why? They don't care.
Yep.
Well, someday they'll get saved. I know Brother Morgan had asked, how have you got a praying mama down there in North Carolina? A few hands went up. I remember my mom coming to my bedroom when I was a boy praying over me. I'd be awake. I remember going downstairs in the early morning sometimes. My mom wouldn't hear. I'd hear her praying, asking God to save her children. I remember it. I raised my hand. My mom tells me all the time she's praying for me, praying for the ministry, praying for my family. But there are people there that could not raise their hand. There are people there that said, my mom is not a praying mama. One person said such thing to me, and her mama sits in church. Why isn't God opening ears? Why would he open the ears of indifferent people? Why would God circumcise the ear of someone that does not care? Why would God circumcise the ear of someone that has absolutely damned their own soul with indifference and lethargy and an absolute spite of God? Why would God circumcise that ear? If you can hear any word I say, I want you to listen to this. Without Christ, you will be damned in hell forever. And that's not a myth.
Right.
So why should you open your ear to hear? Because you will perish. Mothers, your children will perish without Christ. I suspect they're not safe as long as we want to think. Because I've watched a lot of mothers try to keep them safe up into their late teens. And I can't hardly imagine God hasn't spoke to them by that time. What is it in your life that's so vile that you can't let God uncover it? What is it so wicked about you, you can't let God uncover it?
Right.
And a man recently said, he said, well, you know, I was caught up in some not good things. Oh, okay. Adultery is wicked. Pornography is wicked. What not good things were you caught up in? Oh, pornography and adultery. I wasn't a bad thief. I just stole a little bit. Come on now. You all revile the homeless for their filthiness, but then you hide filthiness in your heart.
Come on.
What are we dealing with today? People that don't care. People in church that don't care.
Yes, sir.
My pastor the other night was going around, and he said from the pulpit, walking around the church, we said the pulpit, they started walking. He said, what if I pointed you out and asked you to give a testimony? And he's watched me recoil. And he goes, maybe I'll do that. You just watch me recoil in horror. What if I asked you about what God's done for you? What would you say? And just watch people just almost go, oh my goodness. I mean, the whole church is ready to go to the bathroom. And I don't care if it's Manasseh, Black Creek, Anchor Baptist Church. That's the norm. When were you born of God? And they use terminology, change it, twist it around, make something up. When'd you get saved? Twist something, make it up. Somebody asked some young group of young people recently when they got saved, and they were all 4 or 5 years old, and they said, but most of them don't even remember it.
Yeah, come on.
As you may not deal with, still, to, as far as I know tonight, still has not assurance of salvation. It's been going on 5 years now. His children are lost. He's lost. His wife keeps asking why they don't get saved. He told me that recently. He said, my wife just wants to know why we don't just don't. Tell her, say, I want something different than what you were told works. I don't think he had the guts to do that, but he needed to. I told him that. I said, tell you want something different than what she got. That's what I'm saying in context. Why don't they just get saved? Another family we know. Why don't they just get saved? You know what they mean is, why don't they just repeat a prayer? This man told me he was told at 3 years old he got saved. He clung to that until God sent a preacher to that church. Amen. And that was the first time he wilted under conviction. Melted under conviction. Just absolutely just terrified, horrified. He still calls me time to time or texts, usually phone call. Brother McVeigh, I got to travel such and such a place. Would you pray I don't die and go to hell before I get there?
None.
He was told he was saved. Somebody else told him he was saved. But he has no assurance of faith. But then there's those that just don't care. They do not care. They're not listening. Even tonight, I'd be shocked if every person here is even close to listening.
Come on.
I'd be shocked. If I said, who's listening now? Probably 80% of hands would go up. There'd be 25 people who wouldn't even know what I said. I've preached in a church where no one was listening to what I said. I preached in a church one afternoon where every single person had their eyes closed. So I just stopped preaching. And I waited. After about 5 seconds, one boy's eyes pop open. He realizes that he's quiet. He's looking around. He elbows his sister. She pops up. He coughs. Clears his throat. His mom and dad look up, you know. Finally, people started waking up. I just told him, I said, why waste my time? And, you know, in ministry, you almost feel like that. Why waste your time? The spirit of slumber is on people. They're not listening to a thing you say. This pastor talked about it the other day. I've dealt with it many times. You go to someone, I've been on their deathbed, and preach to them eyeball to eyeball, and told them, had them sit and stare off into oblivion the whole time I spoke. I said, does this mean anything to you? They go, well, thank you for coming. I had a lady called for me by name. Drove an hour and 20 minutes to go preach to her on her deathbed. Sat there with her son and she, and I just said, Lord, it's now or never. And I just preached a doctrine of repentance to her. She stared into oblivion. Didn't hear one word I said. I've had preachers ask me to come preach to me. And they sit there and just stare straight ahead. I said, preachers. I've had preachers' wives didn't stare straight ahead. They bailed out the back door because they couldn't take it. They couldn't take the opening remarks. I've had preachers go to preachers' wives, tell their husband, don't ever have him back. One man, he just had enough guts to tell me. My wife said, never have you back. It's okay. Is anybody listening? Do you care? The Lord cares. I exhort, therefore, Notice we're not encouraging, we're exhorting. And it's kind of what we're talking about tonight. First of all, what takes place before we ever walk in here? First of all, what takes place? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, did you take care of that this morning? Did you take care of that before you came to the house of God tonight? I believe, looking around, I prayed for most people here, if not all people here, this night. That's not boasting, I'm always. I wouldn't lie to you and say I did. But not because I was going to preach this, but I felt a burden. I've reached out to several people today to talk to them, to speak to them, notify them. God has burdened my heart with your family this day. Just in case there's somebody that thinks that no one cares. If the Lord doesn't care. That little child being abused, they feel like just absolutely nobody cares. They turn in bitterness and hatred because they feel like nobody cares for them. As Brother John said earlier this week, there's a God in heaven who looked down and cared. The most vile things that take place in this life is a God in heaven that cares. The pain of life is a God in heaven that cares. The foolishness of your life is a God in heaven that cares. The sufferings of divorce, God cares. The sufferings of death, God cares. The sufferings of addiction, God cares. Somebody said recently, I just feel like God doesn't care at all for me. I was very kind, but I said, no, God cares for you. You just don't care for him. And I said, 1 Peter 5:7. If you'll cast all your care. Why do people like feel like God doesn't care? Because they've destroyed their lives in sin. And then they blame God.
Amen.
Why is it one man gets abused and he turns hateful and bitter and malicious and just hates everything? And then a young lady gets her parents' heads chopped off in front of her and she goes to Colorado and is a witness for Jesus Christ. Why? Because one made a choice to destroy their life in bitterness. One made a choice to try to live for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And there's no gray area.
Amen.
One said, you know what? I'll hate everything and everybody. And another one said, you know what? I'm going to love people because I know that in the midst of my crisis, there's someone that cared for me. There's someone that loved me. There's someone that gave his life for me. Amen. And I'm going to lay down my life for others and I might please him.
Amen.
Whenever you're done sucking your thumb about the misery of your life, you say, you don't know my life. I say, whenever you get done sucking your thumb about the misery of your life, you might just find out there's a God that cares.
Amen.
My life is so awful. I could show you people that have awful lives. I could show you people that have far worse lives than you. Recently, one of the last men in America in the iron lung passed away. Contracted polio in the early 60s, like 61, 62, did not have the vaccine yet. Lived a full life into his 70s, late 70s, in an iron lung. He used to be able to get out for half an hour a day. He could sit in a chair for half an hour a day. They had to put him back in the iron lung. He had to find engineers who'd come in and work on his iron lung so that he wouldn't die in the middle of the night if it shut down. How's your life?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, he went to law school. Became a lawyer.
Right.
Had paralegals that worked for him. In an iron lung. How's your life? Misery and woe. Can I say this with all transparency? When I'm miserable at home, it's because of I'm miserable at home.
Yep. Yes, sir.
When I'm depressed, It's because I'm depressed.
Yes, sir.
Hi, buddy. You say you ought not do that. What's my son waving at me? Amen. Nobody else is going to back me up. He's going. He loves his dad. Amen, Thor. That's right. Even Thor likes my jokes. I told you, nobody listens. None of you laugh like that. Amen. Ryan, don't try. But did you make those prayers and supplications? Now look at, listen to me, for all men? Or you just lay there feeling sorry for yourself in prayer? Did you pray today? Read your Bible today? Spend time with God today? Or are you just a lazy slob?
Uh-oh.
You said, that's not kind. No, that's actually very kind from what I thought. Why haven't we entered into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise? Why? Why haven't we come in with praise on our lips? Why haven't we come in with adoration of him? Oh, I know, we're tired. Right? Long week? Listen, Lord gave me 6.5 hours of sleep last night. That's the longest sleep I've had in probably 10 days, 12 days. I got out of bed this morning. I thanked the Lord for the sleep he gave me.
Amen.
I was refreshed. I was renewed. Tomorrow I'll go home. Tomorrow night, me and my wife will sit on our respective recliners. We have his and her recliners close enough that we can hold hands if we have to. And we'll collapse in a heap. And I'll go through all the meetings and all that took place and all my failures and all my flaws and all the things that I did wrong. And I'll beat myself to death. And somebody will probably send me a text and say, Brother McVeigh, I want you to know God helped me this week.
Amen.
Somebody might call and say, the Lord did things this week. Somebody might call and say, Brother McVeigh, the Lord saved me this week.
Amen.
I said, it could be.
Yeah.
I felt like the meeting in Blaine this year was a bomb. I felt like I was on the end of 6 weeks. I thought it was the worst meeting I ever preached in my life. I was miserable. I said, Lord, I don't know what in the world is happening. Well, four men surrendered to ministry. One had already surrendered to a call, but he officially surrendered to preach. Three others surrendered to preach to me. I've never had a meeting where four people said God called them to preach.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord.
And I never said, I never gave an invitation. Who wants to surrender to a call to preach? On Sunday afternoon, I got done. I said, is there anybody here who wants preaching at 5 o'clock? Raise your hand if you want. I said, every eye closed. You know, immediately a hand shot up in the air. Immediately. I said, I'll come back and preach at 5 o'clock. There's more to that story. But you have to wait a little bit on that one. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. This worst meeting I ever preached.
Amen.
But it wasn't about me. I'm kind of floundering tonight. We've dropped a couple little pricks in there. It's okay. You say, I'm not getting any help from this. It's okay. I got some people pretty upset right now, so we're doing all right.
Amen.
There's people that haven't prayed and too lazy to read their Bible, addicted to video games, addicted to pornography. Addicted to themselves,
yep.
Out of sorts with God, bitter with God, wonder why they can't praise. It's hitting a little bit. Do you know why you get depressed? Because you left your first love.
Well, that's right. Right.
You know how you get out of depression? Go find his feet.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
You won't be depressed.
Right.
Can you imagine laying at the feet of the Savior and look at those wounds and smelling that myrrh and feel that ointment dripping down upon your head and going, Man, I'm having a bad day. My life stinks. I don't know which way to turn. Now you can down his feet. He'll take care of everything.
Amen. Amen.
Do you believe that? You listen. You get the feet of Jesus Christ, he'll take care of everything.
Amen.
Amen. See that lady back there? Looking at me, wondering why I'm talking to her son. That's your mom. You remember what God did for her? Think he wants to do that for you?
Sir.
I hope so.
Does anybody here doubt that God wants to do that for Josh Spencer? Raise your hand.
No.
Come on.
You're the only person that doubts that. Ask Luke Morgan, your friend. Do you think God wants to do that for Josh Spencer?
Yes, he does. Wants to do it for Zane and Dustin, too.
For Zane McGovern back there. Grace wants to do it for you.
Amen.
Big old teddy bear. Huggable, lovable, ticklish.
Oh, yeah.
Chris McGovern. And he'll do it, Chris.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. He wants
Amen.
To say
it. Amen.
For your wife, let's do it for your
family. Amen.
You are the key.
Yep.
But you got to want it, buddy. You got to want it. You got to know it. You got to say, you know what? I'm tired of this misery. I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of this bitterness. I want God more than I want anything else in my life.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
He'll do it.
Yep.
So why haven't we prayed? Are we going to go to the next 5 years and look back to last Friday? Yeah, I remember back 5 years ago, we had all-night prayer meeting. Boy, it was good. Boy, God answered prayer that night. Are we going to live there? Men of the church, ladies of the church, are we going to start meeting on Friday nights? Every once in a while, maybe 9 o'clock, meet for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, pray until God's done? Wouldn't that be better?
Yes, sir.
And make those supplications and make that prayer, make that intercession on behalf of others.
Amen.
Man.
Let's roll
it
out. Forget it.
Brother, Friday, well, we got the game.
Right.
Brother, you know what? Next time. Wait, we got extra now, Pastor. I can't be there that week. I'm gonna get my nails done. You know, I'd love to be there, but you know, we got. I mean, look at my calendar. I mean, can you all see that? I mean, look how full my calendar is. There's, look, you're okay. There's Megan's birthday. Dude, they don't miss that. Nathaniel's birthday, don't want to miss that. Leanna's birthday, don't want to miss that. My calendar's so full. Then daylight savings time. Then Lindsay's birthday. Then Caitlin Deal's birthday. And Ashley Hall's birthday. June's a lonely month. I'm too busy. I was talking with some of the young men recently. I said, what if we just met every night? January 1st, let's start meeting every night at the church. Not in the assembly. If you can come, come. What's your first thought? That wasn't everyone, Stephen. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Well, it helps somebody move closer to the church, I guarantee you that. Every night? Forsake ye not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some. But rather exhorting one another.
Yeah.
And so much the more, it's more than a song. Just want to make that clear. So much the more as you see the day approach. But we got so much to do. And you know what's funny, Brother Arlen? He's just an old farmer. What do you got going on? Just farming. What, no ball games? No theater? No running errands? No, I pretty much farm. Right. What do you do when you've done that? I go to bed. What do you do when you've done that? I get up and farm. We are busy with foolishness. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. Zane, won't you listen to me? We're looking at your hair. We pulled down your eyes. I saw him looking at his hair like he was Elvis. Subscribe to your YouTube channel. I don't want no cussing, no smoking, no drinking, no nudity, okay? Now, is that clear? I subscribe to Zane's YouTube channel. And I'm hoping to see preaching on there someday.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I'm about to start commenting all his videos going, don't see preaching yet.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I'll help it.
Now, his channel's pretty clean. Yeah. It's pretty clean. You don't have to see him too much. That's good.
Amen.
But what would I have done with Zane's channel? What am I going to watch? Luke's channel. What about when I've done Luke's channel? Taylor Swift videos.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I can't. And the boy's like, I wouldn't watch Taylor Swift video.
Right.
You say amen.
Yeah.
And then what? More stupidity.
Yeah.
I know. I've been there. More stupidity.
Yep.
More stupidity. Pastor, we couldn't meet every night. I got so much going on. I gotta watch Zane's new video. I got so much going on. We just don't have time. Right? No, we just don't have a burden.
Yes, sir.
We really just don't care. We just don't have time to do these things. I mean, with everything going on, and I got to work, and, you know, you can ask my wife, and I'm not just touting some of the fools. I'm an expert at time management. We've been as far south as North Alabama. My wife says, honey, what time we get home? And I told her it was in 2 minutes. I'm not being funny. Some of you know. To ask what time it is, I can tell you. 7:07. Check. You think I don't know? 7:06. Okay, that's a minute off. Forgive me. Now, I know what this waste time. If you say I don't have time, let me come help you. You'd be amazed how much time you have.
Amen.
And then the Lord commands us redeeming the time.
That's right.
For the days are evil. How are you redeeming your time?
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Why do you have to redeem it? Because you stole it from God.
Right.
Yes. That's right.
Right.
Amen and amen on that.
So much time.
You know, this time's a busy day. And when I say busy, I mean, we go to BB's and Aldi and the Benton Dance store. And go see the steaks are on clearance at Sam's Club. We're out to grocery outlet. That's kind of my life on Mondays. And then get home, she's homeschooled, we get busy, we get naps, we get all these things. And all of a sudden I go, it's 8 o'clock. What have we done as a family? Nothing. What's the most important part of that? That's what we're giving the time for the days are evil.
Yep.
My children invariably get upset. When I say, children, we're going to pray, it's a couple songs. But we want to watch something. And I go, quit acting like your parents. We're going to pray and we're going to sing songs. What a great father you go all day, not even think about that. What a blessing that is to my children. So busy. But we don't care. We squander our savings, we squander our finances, we squander our time. We squander everything God gives us. And then we don't care to pray.
Right.
And he said, for all kings and all that are in authority, we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why? Because that's acceptable to God to do that. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's acceptable for you to pray for kings. Can I say this? It's acceptable for you to pray for Joe Biden.
That's right.
It's more than acceptable.
That's
right. It's
good.
Mm-hmm. And acceptable.
That's right.
I don't pray for Donald Trump. He's not authority. The Bible says redeeming the time for the day's reading. I pray for Donald Trump. He's not authority. I'm not obligated to. You pray for all you want, that's fine. I don't mind that. I don't pray for Jimmy Carter. Not because I'm against it. I just don't think to pray for Jimmy Carter. But I think of Joe Biden, I pray for him. Think of our mayor, I pray for him. Think of our congressman, our governor, I pray for him. Most all you do is pray for Trump. And he's not even the authority. He got kicked out. You listen? Your hero got kicked out. Oh God, put Donald Trump in office. Well, we prayed that once and lost, so we probably got what we deserved. How's your prayer life? Do you care? How's your walk with God? Do you care? Why is it we can't look at ourselves honestly, let alone our families honestly? You know, one of the greatest things I have an ability to do, probably more than most men, is I can take an honest look at my family. I know exactly where my family is. I know exactly where they're out of sorts. I know exactly where they're doing good. I know when we're falling apart. I know when we're held together. And I can look at that and know that as the Father, every time we're doing good, I'm in the right place. I've done what I'm supposed to do. And every time we're doing poorly, I'm in my right place. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And my wife's an absolute failure. I'm the only one with that gift? Okay. Sorry, I thought maybe others had that same gift. She's the one! Come on, man. There's times my wife has chided me, honey, we need to pray and have devotions. That's shameful for a husband, by the way. I said, that's shameful for a husband. She goes, honey, we haven't prayed with the children today. And I'm going, be quiet. Leave me alone. I'm humiliated. I'm ashamed. But some of you wouldn't be. Wouldn't faze you one bit. How many of your mothers have chided your husbands? We need to have prayer. We need to seek God's face. We need to find God in our home.
Yeah.
Good. When Leanna was little, she'd come down early. I'd sit in my lap and read the Bible with her. Nathaniel was a page ripper. It wasn't an option. I had to read it from a distance. He was a page ripper. Little Matthias sit there for about 5 seconds, he's done. He loves the Bible, but only for 5 seconds. But I watched myself pulling away from reading my children the Bible, and recently God's dealt with me about that. Trying to go back to reading them the scriptures.
Amen.
Reading the Bible to them. You say, it's not having an effect. No, he said his word would not return.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
God wants to accomplish something in this church, your families.
Yes, sir.
But you have to care.
Yep.
Do you care? If you don't care about your own soul, would you care about somebody else's? Mm-hmm. I've had people say to me, well, I'll just die and go to hell. I told a man recently, I said, you go to hell. Don't take your family with you.
Right.
I said that from the pulpit. And I wasn't joking.
Yep.
I said, you can want to go to hell, but don't you take your family with you. I'll say it tonight. You want to go to hell, go.
Yeah.
But don't you take your family. You want to reject God? Go right ahead. More power to you. Young men, you want to reject God? More power to you. You want to be indifferent on God? More power to you. Enjoy that for a while. My hands are clean. That pastor's hands are clean. This pastor's hands are clean. You want to reject God? That's your choice. That's your decision to reject God. But don't you take people with you. And if you're bound, determined to take them with you, I'll fight you tooth and nail. I'm not talking about fists either. You're too weak for that anymore, but I'll fight you tooth and nail. You know why I told that man to go on and go to hell? He called me a fool while I was preaching. With his children sitting there.
Oh, no.
With his children sitting there. I said, with his children. You know, some of you wouldn't say it with your lips, but you'll say it with your actions.
Yeah, I might.
The indifference, the lethargy, you just don't care.
Right.
Some of you said you were seeking God and just stopped. Some of you said you're troubled about your soul, you just stopped. Whose fault is that? Well, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what he's been through.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You don't know what I've done. You don't know what he did for you.
Right.
You don't know what I've done. There's things I've taken to the cross, nailed them to the cross, that if anybody ever found out, you'd never see me again in this place.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother.
I'd go to Thailand as a missionary secretly. I'd drop you a letter now and then, but you'd never see my face. If you knew what I'd done and what I've been, the places I've gone, you would never, ever see my face. I'd be so ashamed. I could not bear the shame, but I don't have to.
Amen.
Amen.
Because someone's taking the shame away.
Amen.
The guilt is gone. The reproach is gone. And I don't care what you've done. I don't care how violent. God can take that reproach.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh, amen.
Sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, perversion has plagued, listen to me, most people.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I said most people.
Yep.
There are folks sitting in this room, if you let your mind wander, you'll be vile with your thoughts because of the past. And there's some of you here are so afraid to take that to the cross. But you said to Jesus Christ, we'll reject you. But he's already died for that sin.
That's right.
Amen.
There's nothing too vulgar, nothing too profane, nothing too vile.
Amen.
That he can't heal.
Amen.
If that's keeping you from being saved, you just go ahead and just cast it on him. Take care of it for you.
Amen.
When I married my wife, listen, my wife is a little church girl. Now I want you to be, I'm not mocking, I want you to listen to real carefully. She was pure. She was clean. She was precious to me. And I was a pig. And God has given my wife a precious relationship. I said a precious relationship. She's gotten over me smacking her in public on the backside. You hang around David Vernon enough, you have to get over that stuff. And I made a comment recently, and I said, I'd rather than preach, I'd rather just go home and love my wife a little bit. And I had a man got out of sorts and actually broke fellowship with me over that comment.
Oh, my.
Accused me of saying something I didn't say. And I realized he's jealous. Because he's not going to go home and love on his wife.
Right.
Amen. God's given my wife and I a precious relationship.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's his precious.
Damn.
Thank God for that. Amen. I didn't deserve that. Many of you didn't deserve that, but God will do that. You forgive all that sin. Make you clean, make you pure, make you whole. And that marriage bed can be undefiled before God.
Amen.
And that's a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
That's a glorious thing. Not too many of them. But every once in a while, you see two virgins come to the altar.
Well,
and if they let me, I'll tell it.
Amen. Good thing.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how precious that would be? How wonderful that would be. How glorious that would be. See, why'd you say all that? It's my notes. Young man. God wants to give you godly wives.
Amen.
So put yourself in that position.
Yes.
Josh, put yourself in that position.
Yes.
You know these little girls in lust? Girl's got a mini skirt, breasts hanging out. She's a harlot. You run the other way.
Yep.
Right.
So, Miss Tom, you're on this. Look at them boys over there. I said, look at him. I said, girl, I'm going to want anything to do with him. And I said, none of them can afford plastic surgery. Look, Kyle, women like my wife, they just don't see too good. It's a blessing. It helps a lot. Or they're desperate. No hope for you, son. Oh, God. It's mercy.
Yes, sir.
Wants to give that to every man here.
Amen.
God wants to give every young lady a godly husband.
That's right.
Amen.
This young lady right here, she's one of the most precious young ladies I know. I mean, I'll give Rose a brother.
Amen.
She's a precious young lady.
Amen.
Nathaniel's too young. You stay away. You're one of the greatest griefs to any of us in here. She married well.
Didn't wait on God.
But what joy it'll be when one day, 30, 40 years from now, those that are living, you and I'll probably be gone. She finds a husband, gets married. Greg will get wheeled in. She'll say, I'm not waiting.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. You boys pray for that. How do you pray for that? I had to wait till I was 41, but I'm glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of Jezebels on the road. I said a lot of them in church.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I waited. I thank God I waited.
Hallelujah.
I've known some that didn't.
Oh, brother.
Do you even care? Do you even care? You know why God gave me a wife? Because I asked.
Amen.
But I didn't say just a wife. I said, Lord, help us to line up with what I need. And I did have a list, not written, but I listed here. The first met her, I went, check. First time I got to know or talk to her, I went, check. I found out she was doing the same thing. Hers is all fleshly stuff, tall, good looking. It worked. With your eyes, it's men who don't even care. Young ladies don't even care. Parents that do not care. Can I tell you how much I hate matchmaking? Good, I got a whole message. Turn your Bibles to some dimwit thinks they're going to hook somebody up because they have this idea that this will work.
Yeah.
And I did say dimwit.
Right.
You better know the mind of God before you start opening your mouth.
Yeah.
you better be real careful before you start opening your mouth about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen too many over the years, well-meaning mamas, well-meaning listen, I've had preachers try to set me up with their lost daughters. True story. I've had preachers have me in for a meeting. And all of a sudden they go, oh, this is a hookup. Oh, God. They're not preaching it. I'm not going back anyway. Why not? That's the truth. And then well-meaning mamas and dads, oh, this would be great. Hey, look at her. They go, hey, Luke, look at this girl over there. Look, she'd be perfect. For you. You can sick of that stuff. Well, I hate it.
Yep.
I go, man, whatever. Okay. Until she sat down in front of me at church. I have an old Samuel back there said, you know, I mean, kind of thinking about charity. Was anybody shocked at all?
No.
Miss Tanya, okay, the only person was shocked.
Peter.
I didn't know they were shocked, but they said, Timothy's courting Megan? I go, he's only been thinking about it for 8 years, sir. They were stunned by it. This is him right now, I'm going, well, we'll just wait and see. Ricky says, well, Jim, can I talk to you? I said, it's about Audie. He goes, oh, just be right. But I find joy in it.
Amen.
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 I love watching Sam and Cherry.
Yep.
I love watching Timothy and Megan. Because I find it, guy said, oh, according, but my dad said that's legalistic. I said, no, it's just the venue they've chosen to make sure they don't go into sin.
That's right.
They've chosen this venue. It's not laid on them. It's a burden. You will do that. Well, they choose to do that.
Uh-huh.
They don't go into sin.
Yep.
And I've enjoyed it. I hope someone here find a wife.
Amen.
And I can enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have to listen. I don't battle with that stuff, Josh. You know what? I'm going to start praying more that God will save you a wife.
Amen.
You got to get your head out your backside.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Get that life together, son. Mm. You watch God send you a good wife.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You see, he shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, I should have called him Joshua. That's his Christian name. God sent you the right wife.
Yes, sir.
You ever doubt that? In all the torment, the trials, you ever
doubt
it's the right wife?
No, God put it together right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's why God gave you the privilege of being saved by Bojack.
Amen.
Everyone
has
that.
Amen.
I might be done.
Well, if I had to do it over again,
I'm not gonna ask you. If only they have hamburgers. I had a guy that works at Chick-fil-A. He's like, I get so sick of people coming in to order cheeseburgers thinking they're funny. You've never heard that 1,200 times. Josh, our prayers that God restore your family.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
And he is able.
That's right.
Amen.
Sorry, Nick, no hope. Everybody with Nick has hope. He's the only one. Everybody else. His mom was like, oh, I was hoping Nick would get married. Sorry, Nick. He's going to live with y'all forever. Just wait for it. Did you marry wrong? I'm not going to ask her, okay? I'm not going to tell you what I was asking you.
And God wants to give it a relationship.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Yeah, he cares about that little boy. He cares about that little girl.
Amen.
Hey, little girl, you believe God cares for you.
Amen.
He saw you in the room.
His
hand was
right. Amen. Amen.
Actually, my wife's belly is sick. Did they say no? They hear Father.
Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, here's how it's done, Brian. Until. A little girl got 2 months old. She'd be sitting in that car seat. I'd go, hey, little girl. She'd go. He said, she didn't hear those prayers. Oh, she did. Does he care? You believe he cares? Pastor Cassio, I believe he cares.